It has been a big week for HBO. Game of Thrones just began its sixth season. Veep is back, so is Silicon Valley. And Beyoncé unveiled her new album, Lemonade, on HBO on Saturday night. So for today's View from the Top, a series of conversations that we have with leaders, we're joined by Richard Plepler, the CEO of HBO. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pleasure to be here.
Well, and I want to first ask you about the big moment for HBO the other day. A lot of people watching the return of Game of Thrones, but some people who were using your new HBO Now service had some problem getting the stream to work. What happened?
Yeah, I think it was a very short delay due to an enormous amount of traffic, but we quickly righted it, and I think it was about a 10-minute delay, and everybody was back on, and we had the highest viewership Sunday night, I'm proud to say, in our history for any one of our shows on an opening night.
What was the viewership?
We exceeded over 11 million viewers with Thrones, and had also, as you know, a huge night for Silicon Valley, a huge night for Veep, and of course, John Oliver and Beyonce also had record numbers as well. And the Beyonce video, The Break of Lemonade, just had an enormous cultural impact, both on social media and on HBO. So it was a great Sunday night for us, and we were thrilled with it.
And that 11 million you're talking about, that's people watching on television as well as online?
The vast preponderance of the viewing exactly was on HBO in the first two plays, and then there's about 10% on HBO Go and Now.
How do you think HBO Now and HBO Go are going at this point? Are they growing as fast as you would have liked?
Oh, absolutely. The usage on HBO Go is up over 44% year to date. So as people become more familiar with the optionality of viewing on different platforms, convenience is something that everybody wants. People want to be able to watch what they want, where they want, how they want to watch it. HBO Go affords that opportunity for people. And HBO Now, which is our standalone streaming service, is off to a terrific start, allows people to watch, should they choose, with just an internet subscription. So all we're trying to do, Jeremy, is provide the consumer with as many options as is technologically possible for them to get our great content.
And do you see the future of HBO being just digital and not having anything to do with cable companies?
Not at all. In fact, the vast – look, what people really want is great curated content that is presents a great value proposition, whether it's our four Hollywood movie studios, the range of our sports programming, our documentary programming, John Oliver and Bill Maher and Vice and all the new dimensions that were added. We haven't even introduced yet Bill Simmons, Vice News, Jon Stewart, all of which are coming to the network. So it's all about a great curated package of content. And the vast preponderance of our growth in the coming years is going to be within the ecosystem. And there will also be growth outside the traditional ecosystem. But make no mistake, our cable partners, our satellite partners, and our telco partners will be the engine for our growth in the coming years. And we're delighted that we also have a streaming service for those people. Remember, there are now about 12.5 to 13 million homes in the United States that only have broadband. And we made a decision 3 years ago. We did not want that growing audience not to be able to access HBO if that's the way they chose to access HBO. But in all cases, remember, you need broadband to get HBO into the home. And our cable partners and telco partners have that broadband. So it's, I think, a win-win for everybody. We're simply presenting optionality to the consumer for them to be able to access our content however they want.
But presumably there are some people who fall into the category of they were paying $100 a month for cable and also the money for HBO, and now they realize they don't have to pay for those other channels that they didn't want, and they just get HBO Now.
Yes,
and that's it.
Yes, I think, but you really have to unpack that with a little more rigor. Because when you add the price of a broadband subscription and start laying on top of that different OTT packaging, whether that be Netflix or Amazon or HBO Now, you get to a number ultimately, which is actually close to some of the skinny bundles that the cable and satellite and telco partners are already offering. You know, look, we've grown more. And this is an interesting point, Jeremy, because it's the most competitive ecosystem in our history. But we have grown more in the last 2 years than at any two-year period in 30 years. And that tells you two things. It tells you, number one, that there's a great demand for really good content. And it also shows you that the ecosystem is hardly dead. The ecosystem is evolving. And cable, satellite, and telco partners are thinking up different kinds of packaging. So for us, we just want to be available to all different kinds of distributors, however they decide to package us and bundle us to grow their business and to grow ours as well.
But some people may be surprised to hear you defending the ecosystem that exists, because they would think, why would HBO, which so many people love, want to be tied to cable companies in the future, which so many people hate? I mean, they get consistently ranked as the worst companies.
I don't think it's a question of being tied in a deleterious way. I think it's a question of making sure that the consumers can get us however they want. There's a lot of value in some of the skinnier bundles, and there's value, quite frankly, in a lot of the digital packaging that they do, where people perceive that they're getting an enormous amount for their money. And for HBO, remember, we're a content company. And what we want to do is we want to package in as many different ways as we possibly can with myriad partners and let the consumer decide how they want to access our product. We created HBO Now to create a new dimension of optionality, but that in no way interferes with our ability and our desire to grow our business with our current partners.
Who's your main competitor?
You know, the competitor really in many respects is time. There's only so many hours in a day for leisure time. I think you have about, you know, people watching on the average of about 5 hours of television a day. We don't really need that, because what we're selling is a brand. And what we're looking to do inside that brand is to create a kind of addictive property for different parts of our consumer base. And different people are addicted to many different things. I think you saw it this weekend is a kind of textbook example of the range of things we could do. There were people who were waiting for the new Veep premiere with as much passion and intensity as people who were waiting for the new Thrones premiere. So what we're trying to do is make sure that this brand continues to resonate in popular culture, and that people understand that when they come to HBO, they're going to see something special. I think it's interesting when you look at Beyoncé's choice to come to HBO to launch, in a way, the new album through this very interesting piece she did, video piece she did on Lemonade. She could have chosen many, many different venues to do that. And we're delighted and feel very honored that she chose HBO as the place to launch her new art. So I think our job is to make sure that we are constantly looking at the best storytellers in all different forms, and we are creating an environment for them where they want to come and do their best work. And if we continue to do that, and I'm proud to say that we have a terrific team is always looking to find the next great original voice and across all genres. We're going to continue to really have our fair share of attention and acclaim in popular culture. And we want to play our game. We know that there's other people doing great work. That's fine. There's no zero-sum game here. If we do what we do well, we are going to have and continue to have a real voice in defining the best of what defines the zeitgeist.
So I thought you were going to say Netflix was your biggest competitor, but
no, I don't think of as Netflix as our biggest competitor, Amazon or the networks or Showtime. I think about us doing our best work. And if we do that and play our game as we are capable of playing it, we're going to have the best new talent. We're going to continue to evolve new voices. And everybody's going to continue to talk about HBO, I think, is doing differentiated and very high quality work. That's what we think about. And frankly, if you look at our growth, not only in terms of our business and not only in terms of our global growth, remember, important to remember, Jeremy, this is a global company. We sell our product into 150 markets around the world. We have owned and operated networks in 60 countries around the world. We have about 130 million subscribers worldwide. So this is a global brand, and we are working to grow our business all over the world. And we want to make sure that also we're dealing with and working with the best writers, the best producers, the best talent. And we're very privileged that there is always a huge line at our door of great storytellers who want to work here. And that's the secret, you know. We're a bit like an art gallery in a way. We're a place where we want the best artists to come and show their work. And we're trying to create the best environment for them to do that and to help them market and promote it when they get here. And we have a pretty good track record, I think, of doing that quite well.
HBO CEO Richard Plepler, and tomorrow we'll continue our conversation and talk about, among other things, HBO's takeover of Sesame Street and HBO's plans for virtual reality.